Welcome to the Charles Little Podcast with Michael Lofton. We are so glad to be able to come to you. We are having a two-pod this week. Charles, what do you think about that, man?
I'm loving it. Loving it. More content. Let's get it out there.
Absolutely. A lot is going on.
I might change my nickname to Tupac Shakur.
I like that. You already called yourself the Rookie of the Year thus far, so we got to keep it rolling. But we're just really excited, and we want to thank everybody for tuning in to listen. We know we are starting to climb on the listeners, and we do have a surprise for you later in the week. We will be having our first ever guest, and once again, that'll be a surprise for you. Let's just say Iverson and he have a couple of things in common. We'll just go with that. But we're excited. You want to give any clues about our guest later this week?
I mean, he hasn't had a haircut in quite some time, so you've known him to have a fro. It'll be a good combo. We can, you know, with the tournament coming up, it'll have some NCAA tournament relevance, so it'll be good. It'll be good.
Absolutely. We're really excited about that, but without further ado, Charles, we know we had to go with two pods this week because we can't forget about our favorite sport in the NBA. We do have some soccer recap going for you. There's a lot going on, and then we'll get into, I mean, we were just blessed with, I think, the NFL trying to make their move and becoming more like the NBA, and we'll get into all that. And then, obviously, later in the week, something very near and dear for us is tournament time. And I'm loving your wardrobe this week. What are you going to be wearing tomorrow for the people to represent the Flyers?
I'm not sure. I got a whole drawer that's pretty much just Dayton clothes. So I don't know. I got some camouflage joint.
Ooh.
That I might have to bring out deep in the bag. Yeah. You know. So we'll see.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that.
Vintage 2009 gear.
You got to make sure we have a picture today, man. Get that on the gram. Get that on Twitter. We need all that.
Oh, we up there. It'll be up there.
All right, man. So, Charles, I think obviously when we were talking earlier today is knowing that we were going to have to talk about this Russell Westbrook situation, not only when we were creating the agenda for the day, we had not yet heard what the NBA decided to do, but wanted to give folks a background situation is last night Russell, let's just say he was got into a altercation with a fan, verbal altercation, nothing physical, but clearly there are some undertones there from a where talking about folks' families on both sides of the aisle. But this is nothing new, unfortunately, with Russ, is that for some reason this is a repeat incident for him at Utah. And we're trying to stay as non-biased as possible, but these things keep happening with him. The kid situation with Denver, then Denver with the guy who flicked him off. I have no idea why Russ is the one being attacked, but Charles, would love to. It's time for you to give the people your take.
I mean, at the end of it, I mean, they ended up giving the guy a lifetime ban. Mm-hmm. They fined Westbrook $25,000. So, I mean, on both sides, I think at the end of it, I mean, to the fan, that means obviously you're wrong because, you know, you can't talk to people like that. You can't berate, you know, one of the players while he's playing. So that punishment works for them. And then for us, it's like at the same time, we understand and acknowledge that this fan was verbally abusing you, but that doesn't give you the right to respond in such an aggressive manner as well. So, I mean, I really don't have a problem with it. Seems like, you know, pretty fair. I'm sure like that, you know, at a certain point, you know, you can't just say, you know, people need to realize you can't just say whatever the hell you want to say to anybody. You know, there are repercussions for your actions and for your words. You can technically say whatever you can say, whatever you want to say. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I got to sit, stand there and take it or be cool with that shit. So, I mean, if he said what he, you know, I read what the guy supposedly said to Russell. And if he was doing that, if he really said that, then, I mean, hell, you know, all things are off the table then. So,
And the Jazz actually came in their statement, actually verified this story and said that Russ's account actually was one that came true. So the guy started lying. And then he had some infatuation with him on Twitter. Did you notice that as well? Charles, with all these incidents that have happened to Russ and this repeatedly happens, what do you think is the reasoning of why he continuously is in these situations?
I just feel like he's a lightning rod. He's probably, nobody plays harder than he does. Nobody, like, Russ is out there talking to himself. He's screaming at, you know, and, you know, he uses those things. You know, Russ plays with a huge chip on his shoulder. So he's probably, you know, he's probably got rabbit ears more than other players because he is so, you know, he uses that stuff as motivation too. So when you are looking for motivation for things, like, you're listening for those things as well. So, you know, it's just a combination of all those things. And I don't know. I really don't know. Like, it still doesn't, no matter what he's doing on the court, that doesn't give, you know, still give, you know, people right to, you know, touch him and, you know, yell derogatory things at him and none of that. So, I mean, I love the way he plays. He's one of my favorite players to watch, one of my favorite players in the NBA. So, you know, I think he was well within his rights and they got the W. So, you know, more power to him.
Yeah, with OKC, just to make sure we're backtracking on Russ very quickly, anytime Ray Felton and Patrick Patterson are taking your side in something of where we rarely hear those guys in the media, that lets me further know that something was really going on the fan side and this stuff needs to stop. They both literally gave the same defense with Russ and saying how it happens multiple times, attacking his family, etc. What is he supposed to do? And before I think we transition, Charles, like with your experience playing internationally, I mean, what was the most hostile maybe environment that you've been in or something of that nature?
I mean, I remember playing in some gyms that were pretty loud, pretty, you know, they got the drums beating, the, you know, the shakers, they're waving flags, doing the chants and stuff. But I mean, as much as, you know, those are intimidating situations, they are yelling at me in a language I don't understand. So there's that. So, you know, on some level, like I can tell you're yelling mean shit at me, but at the same time, like, I don't understand it. So I don't really care. And I'm also, like, you know, one of those people that I'm pretty locked in. Most of the time when I'm playing basketball, I really don't hear anything. Kind of in my own, like, internal dialogue of what I need to be doing and processing and information and stuff. So I'm kind of zoned out a lot of times when I'm playing. So I never really had that problem overseas. You know, occasionally would happen in the smaller gyms in college or something. High school, we had a couple incidences of people, you know, screaming, you know, we go to those certain places, sure, those certain towns, sure, and we had to get escorted to the county line so we could get out of there and stuff like that. So, I mean, we've definitely had some experience. I've had some experiences with it, but, nothing at that level. Cause you know, that's a whole nother level of, you know, you got 24,000 people in there, 20, you know, every night, screaming at you and yelling, you know, whatever the hell they feel like. They feel like because they bought a ticket, they're allowed to, you know, to say to you. So, I mean, people, just because Russell is a point guard, he looks small on TV. People don't understand Russell Westbrook is a, you know, 6'4" grown ass man who will choke the life out of you. Like, people need to understand, like, he's like a little, just much, you know, barely smaller than me. Like, and I'm a big dude, so. Like, he ain't the one to be, like, these people are not to be trifled with. Like, Steph Curry's 6'3". Chris Paul is 6'3". Like, these people are not, like, these people are not small people. You know, in college, like, Brian Roberts is 6'2". He's not a small person. And, you know, so people think they can just say whatever they want to say, and that's not the case.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that there's going to be some rules or conversations, at least with the commissioner. You know how he is. People say he's very player friendly, and but at the same time, what he is just understanding that this is a partnership, and that stuff can't be tolerated. And good on the Jazz for that, because they are not known for conforming to other teams or maybe disowning their fans. But bravo to them. I was very pleased with that. Speaking of players with as we were say, we're gonna call it players with attitudes on this podcast. And needless to say, I think Coach Steve Kerr, the Golden State Warriors, is a little tired of maybe one of the players that he has with an attitude. And bravo to some of the media that was able to pick it up. But Steve is saying that it doesn't happen, but Charles, what do you think? I think I saw what he was trying to say. And what do you think that Coach Kerr said?
I mean, he said he was tired of Draymond shit. It is what it is. I think one of the things that's just the rigors of the season, though. Like, you don't understand. Like, people like to take something and not have any context in it. He could just say he's tired of Draymond shit, like, today in this, you know, in this particular game, him doing, you know, him not following an assignment. Just to, you know, they always take things and make it this larger picture thing.
Sure.
Like, because he said that in that moment, he meant, like, for all of eternity, he was tired of Draymond shit. And it's like, no, like, he could have just been like, today while we're losing to the Suns, I'm tired of Draymond shit. You know what I mean? And it's game 70. And, you know, people just, it's, you know, the season is long. It's a long grind. So shit happens. People do wear on each other. Draymond's a person, you know, that has a large personality. So I could see how he would wear on somebody by game 70 in year 5. But on the other hand, like, nobody cares what Draymond thinks. So, like, who cares if Steve Kerr really said that or Draymond feels some type of way about it? As long as Steve Kerr doesn't have a beef with Steph or with Clay, he's fine. The situation is fine. The heart of the Warriors is Steph and Clay. Everybody else is an extra piece, is a bonus. But the core and the bedrock of who the Golden State Warriors are the Splash Brothers. And I think that people think just because Draymond is – you know, whatever. Draymond doesn't play, like, is not good anymore. He's averaging less than 10 points. He's not doing his overall thing. How many triple doubles does he have this year? That's kind of an indicator of, like, how he's playing. He can't shoot worth a lick. I understand, like, he'll probably, you know, he has value in a playoff series for sure, but I just don't see how, like, why people care what Draymond really thinks. Like, he's the fifth best player, he's the fifth all-star. Like, in the five all-star thing, he's the fifth one. Like, he's insert band member that nobody cares about. So, he's Jermaine Jackson. Like, yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, nobody cares. So, it is what it is. If he leaves, like, he's not going to get the contract that I think he thinks he's going to get. So that's going to be a whole issue, because I know he has been bucking for that, for getting that Supermax.
Sure.
He's gonna fall short of that. And I don't know if the Warriors don't give him the contract that he thinks he deserves, I don't know who's gonna give it to him. I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Because I always think the priority when it comes to, obviously, Steph is it doesn't matter. I think Steph is above Steve Kerr and all of that thing. Steph is the number one priority of the franchise. But and behind him is Steve Kerr and Clay. So then everybody else after that, can move and do whatever they want to do, because I think they know at the core of their business model, as long as they have Clay and Steph, they got a chance.
Well, my situation I want to ask is, Draymond Green going to be a member of the Warriors opening night 2019-2020?
It all depends on how the season ends. I can't say. I think the Warriors are going to win the championship. So in that, I also think that as much as things change, things will stay the same. So maybe next year, that might be his last year. I think they have to lose for them to like really break up. If that makes sense. I think if they win the championship this year, KD's going to leave regardless. But if they lose the chip, you know, people got to stay. So we'll see what Draymond does. But I think he'll be there one more year. And then, 2020, 2021, he'll be gone.
Well, my thought is this. Is Draymond expendable?
Very much so.
Okay. And so, therefore, at the end of the day, they win, use him great. There's an opportunity where maybe they have three starters that are gone. And that means, well, three current ones. That means Durant, Draymond, and DeMarcus. And are they going to be, I don't want to say that's a rebuild, but people are coming, it's right behind them. All these little things matter, though. all these little things matter to me, Charles, and that's why I wanted to bring this up, because you know how it is when it comes down to when you were trying to grind and win a championship, these things happen, especially as going for the three-peat. This is all these little things matter. What's going to happen the next time they get into something? Or, you know, granted, it's not Steph's personality, but say they're down 2-0 to a team, you know, similar to the Bulls were prior to the Charles Smith situation. These things are going to happen. I think the Warriors are not as vulnerable. I think the Warriors are more vulnerable than they've ever been, is my point. And I think, I don't, what we saw this week, I don't think Denver's ready. When the Warriors win, their best is better than everybody else's. That's how, you know, this, the SVP situation, that's how they measure up. But that doesn't mean, they were going to have an issue if OKC's the 4, Portland's the 5. Getting through both OKC and Portland just to get to the finals, and whoever's on the other side, if it's one of those three teams, I don't count Philly in that tier yet, but if it's one of Milwaukee or Toronto, Boston, that's a lot where they have to bring their A game to win, and that's going to require that. Let's mark this down. Where are we at? Today is March. What day is today?
It's the 12th.
Tuesday, March 12th.
12th.
Yeah, this is not going to be an easy road for them. I heard Chris Haynes say that they could easily win every game in the playoffs. Yeah, that's not happening. I think I have to see more from, I want to see if Markieff Morris can get it going. I want to say they're not going to make the finals. But let me just say this. I it's not going where they get a sweep, then win in 5, and then winning 7. At minimum, they're going to have two series in a row on the Western Conference side that'll go 2-6s or 1-6 and a 7 or 2-7s. I see it coming. That's where I'm going to leave at that. But I'm telling you, these little things matter, Charles. They do. They really do.
There are only two teams that are going to win, that have a chance in my book of winning the NBA championship. It's the Warriors and the Thunder. So I'm been sticking by that all year. And I'm pretty sure the Warriors are going to win. So, but it's still exciting. I'm really glad. I can't wait till the playoffs get here. So right. Let's just get to it.
Exactly. We're about four weeks away on it.
I got to see somebody beat the Warriors 4 times in 2 weeks.
That's a good point.
I got to see it. I got it. Cause at the end of the day, the Warriors have the best player in any series. They have the best player. They have Kevin Durant. And as we've seen in multiple, the last two postseasons, when push comes to shove, they will step out of the way and let Kevin Durant do what he needs to do. So I'm not going to go against him, because there's no LeBron in his way. So who's going to stop him? He put 51 on Kawhi earlier this year in Toronto. So there's nobody that can stop him when he feels like it and is compelled to do so. And there's no more compelling time than the playoffs. So. I got to see it. I got to see it. As long as if everybody's healthy, I don't think it matters.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it at that. Speaking of exciting leagues, I think that we can both agree is that nothing is like NBA offseason and all the drama that potentially can happen as soon as free agency starts. You know, I obviously, if you were to study things, the NFL could have done a better job over the last 10 years of how they are adopting that and how are they using that to just capture an audience, especially during a conference championship week where people are just looking for something to gravitate to. And I think we just had I can't think of anything bigger in football that's happened in the last 4 to 5 years. But the Cleveland Browns acquired Odell Beckham Jr. in a trade with the New York Giants. The Giants are going to receive Cleveland's first and third round picks this year, along with Jabril Peppers. And then essentially there's also conversation that the Browns make it Earl Thomas as well. Charles, put on your GM hat, put on your director player personnel hat. Why did the Browns win whatever fake or non-sweepstakes that we had for Odell Beckham Jr. How did this happen?
I have no idea. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell happened. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell the Giants are doing. Browns are here making power moves.
Yes.
The only move they made this offseason I haven't liked is the Kareem Hunt signing. I just felt like Nick Chubb, I feel like Nick Chubb is a great back and needs a chance to shine. I feel like he's literally spent his whole life as running back number two, and he's a lead dog, I think. No pun intended for the Georgia fans. That's a power move, and to get him for the 17th pick, Peppers, and I forgot, was it a third round pick maybe?
Yeah, third round pick, yes sir.
Like, that's not a, like, I'm just trying to figure out why more teams weren't involved. I feel like there should have been some other teams that could have made better deals. My Jaguars for one. I would have happily traded our top 10 pick straight up for Odell.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like that's I don't know. One thing about the NFL that I really don't understand is why these GMs value these draft picks more than they value the players. The turnover rate for these jobs is so high that you're building for your future that you're probably not going to see. So that always kills me. It's the Giants are essentially about to just tank the season away. So are they just going to run Saquon into the ground for 16 weeks and let him get 400 touches that, in vain for nothing? What are they doing? You can't just the fan base in New York City is not going to accept them going 2-14. You know what I mean? So I just don't know. I have no idea what they're doing. At least they got Peppers to replace Landon Collins. The Browns are looking on the upside, but I mean, I feel like the Browns are still, at the end of the day, I have to see it. It's the same thing with the Warriors. I got to see the Warriors lose for me to really think they're going to lose and not find a way. And I got to see the Browns actually win before I'm like, oh yeah, this is the Browns year. Even though the Browns got Odell, this is going to be amazing. I can still, I can see a world where Odell has 1200 yards receiving. Landry has 1200 yards receiving. Kareem Hunt's got, 1,500 total yards, and they're still 10-6 and losing the division round because Baker Mayfield threw three picks.
Plus, we're really going to beat on Baker.
I'm not beating on Baker, but I still he's still a second year quarterback. And when you get in the division round and in these things, the same things have been happening our entire lives. The young quarterback throws the pick at the wrong time. He fumbles at the wrong time. This happens every single year. We've been watching this our entire life. The young guy, Tom Brady is the only young guy, and he was a game manager back then. There's no young dude leading the charge at 23, 24, 25. That's why Patrick Mahomes lost in the AFC Championship game. And now he might learn from that and come back, but they always lose the first time. So if Baker gets that far, I can definitely see Baker on that game-winning drive in the fourth quarter, like every quarterback has thrown ever, throwing that interception on 3rd and 11. Come on now, that's how I look at situations in the NBA Game 7. Who's really bringing that shit in the NFL division rounds, playoff games? Who's really bringing that shit? I don't. You can have Odell and Landry out there, and you can beat the hell out of the Jets in Week 4 and get all your stats off. But are y'all beating? When it gets cold in Cleveland, Baker's got arm strength, but Baker let's as much as we love Baker for being Farvish, and he didn't turn the ball over a ton this year. He will occasionally give you one. He'll give you some. Sure. I'm not gonna say he's gonna give you a pick, but he'll give you an opportunity for a pick. And just worried that he, history has shown, and me watching football my entire life has shown me that that guy, he's gonna give you one. Now whether they get it or not, that's up to them. Like Tom Brady finally gave the Chiefs one, and D4 was offsides, and so you lost the game.
That's fair.
That was your one chance. That was your one chance, and you lost.
One chance. Literally coming down to that shit.
Yeah, but I'm saying just in all those games, you got one chance. There's a lot of 50-50 plays that just kind of tilt the thing, and you had he finally gave you that pick that you've been working for all game, and your fucking man was offsides.
Awesome. I mean, you just broke it down very well, man. That way to put on your GM hat, we appreciate that. But you know what? You got to have faith sometimes, brother. The Browns are coming. They are absolutely coming. And I know that as a second year quarterback, there's always a little bit of regression, but man, I see it clear as day. It's good that those guys are back together, man. LSU just crazy talent.
My question to you is though, but what is your definition of their coming? Like
Sure.
that's what I'm saying. Like now, if their coming means like they're gonna make the playoffs, I'm totally with that. I'm riding behind that idea all the way. But like, do I think like I'm gonna seriously think that the that the Browns are gonna go into Arrowhead in the division round and beat the Chiefs? No, not really.
Well, I
I have no.
think.
Why would I think that? Why would I think the Browns are gonna go to Foxborough and beat the Patriots? I have you. You don't like. There's no way I would believe in that.
Sure, let's take it a step back, okay, and then assessing that these people have more money on their deals. So let's take a step back. What is the issue with every, I mean, every NFL team, they think about what are their goals at the beginning of the year. And that first goal, like you can hear that synonymously, is either with the head coach or the GM, they say, our number one goal is to go win our division. That's a check mark for Cleveland. Cleveland will be the favorites to win the AFC North next year. One, because Odell just, he literally just stole all the headlines. Which we're still trying to understand, oh my God, the Raiders only got Antonio Brown for a third and fifth. It's unbelievable. These people are not valuing top end talent like they should be. But that's what it comes down to. Is I think Dorsey is seeing a way that he wants to make his team better. That means they're gonna make a team better, and there's a reason why they jumped on it, is because now they have a chance to win that division. The best chance that they've had in a long, long, long time. With the Steelers, the Ravens just gave up Mosley and T. Sizzle. I mean, that's a problem. And the Bengals, come on now, come on now. The Browns already told you that they own the Bengals now, which may be absolutely the case. And you know that homeboy is not going to be rushing back from injury, so it is what it is. Charles, I just want you to keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. I
Like I
absolutely
said,
can see this
the
team going to the
Browns are
AFC
coming.
Championship.
I
Yes.
agree with you on that, but I'm just saying, to what degree are the Browns coming? Like they might win the division. That doesn't mean I think they're going to like the AFC Championship game or something. Not to mention the Jacksonville Jaguars, my Jacksonville Jaguars, just signed Big Dick Nick Foles, who will be vying for an AFC playoff spot as well. So like, there's not a lot of room for error for the Browns to make, because there are teams like the Jaguars who have gotten better as well.
I'm wondering that you are just ready to throw in the towel. Sometimes these things are going to change. You never know with injuries. Mahomes, I think, is clearly the best player in the league next to Sir Aaron Rodgers in the North. But,
Tom Brady's the best player in the league. What are you talking about?
okay. And I love him as a Michigan guy, but we're not, you know what? Today is not the day, March 12th, where we are going to dive in fully on that. I'm excited for Antonio Brown getting to the Raiders. Our alum, our fellow alumnus rather, and John Gruden, definitely. I mean, if you see the breakdown of everything that they traded with Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and somehow got Antonio Brown, and then just crazy still keeping their first round picks for this year and for next year. I mean, just I think wonderful business by he and Mark. Mayock, and I think Dorsey just made a move. And granted, I mean, if you're into the kicking of women thing, maybe you're okay with the Kareem Hunt situation. This podcast is not. However, on the flip of that, they may have lost the king of the land to LA, who also was not going to the playoffs, interestingly enough. But man, do they not have the best wide receiver combo in the league, and also one of the top quarterbacks, definitely one of the top young quarterbacks, but he is coming. Oh my goodness, Charles, it's come. Fair enough, fair enough. You're just willing to throw in the towel and not have any faith, but I'm just telling you.
I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm laying it across the apron.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, we'll keep that you laying across the apron. That's fine, but you know what? The Browns are cooking. Let me just tell you that, and we're ready to serve. And they're going to be serving you when they are playing in the third Sunday in January in the AFC Championship game. Yeah,
In the
I'm
Pro
excited.
Bowl?
Nah, the third Sunday. The third Sunday. Come on now. Come on now. You know what? Unfortunately, they are going to have some guys. I'm not even a Browns fan. I lived in Detroit. I was born in D.C. My family had tickets back to RFK Stadium for the Washington football team. I do not acknowledge the mascot, obviously. But, I mean, that's a first love, man. That's just what it is. I mean, and my first NBA game was Pistons. My first baseball game was Tigers in the American League. And my first National League game was obviously the St. Louis Cardinals, the second greatest franchise in the entire sport of baseball. But I just have a lot of love for, I mean, I think at this point with NFL, I've changed to like just caring about players and fantasy and then just cheering on all of the Michigan guys who are coming out, because I know that helps more NFL players, better 4 or 5 star recruits you're going to have. So of course I'm rooting for them, but to answer your question, the Washington football team and the Detroit Lions used to have a decent rivalry in the late 80s and early 90s. So that's why I was all about trying to fall in love with the Lions. But no matter, the Pistons are handling their business. But appreciate you trying to throw me under the bus with the Detroit Lions.
I've just never seen you with a Washington visor on before, so I wasn't sure.
That's because I've retired it, sir.
I've seen you in so many different visors that I was trying to roll through my Rolodex of, you know, your visors. Speaking of which, Bahani Jones with bow ties. But
let me say this. Visors. Oh, a nice shout out to one of the other fellow Wolverines, Go Blue. But speaking of visors, we are 3 days away from visor season. March 15th to October 15th, because in the Midwest, that's what we do. In terms of, you just can't because it may be snowing in October. You don't have that issue living in the South now in SEC football, and they don't even play in anything colder than 60 degrees. However,
it snows in Missouri.
That's fine. Yeah, but they're not a true SEC team. But
they're not.
Yes, on many levels, but that's neither near here nor there. But I had to retire my Washington football team visor because I didn't the mascot, clearly, I don't think I should be wearing that on my head. And I didn't want to wear something just Washington because it was off-brand. And the other thing is that I did not want to have Redskins labeled across the visor. So those are my reasonings, sir.
I'm cool with that.
I appreciate that.
It's cool, man. You can keep your John Riggins jersey in the closet.
Nah, we're good. Art Monk, Ernest Biner, Gary Clark. Oh, don't get me started on this. I mean, just legends, Hall of Famers. Yeah. And how about you? I mean, who's the best player in Jaguars history? Jalen Ramsey, Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor.
Okay, I'm cool with
technically
that.
Tony Boselli, because Tony Boselli's probably the closest to being in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, I can ride with that. I'm fine with that.
I don't know. Our very first pick ever, Kevin Hardy, out of Illinois.
And Keenan McCardle, he was all right. Is a receivers coach
Keenan
in the McCardle, league
McCardle, Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
Natron Means.
Good NFL blitz team. But, you know,
man.
Not going to get you the Lombardi trophy, but big dick.
Natron got us to the AFC championship.
Yeah, that's, you know why, because Shannon and them, they didn't take y'all serious. John Elway didn't take their stuff seriously, and they got caught up. So I respect that. That's a good point. But, I mean, had you even had your first girl then? I mean, how long ago were we talking?
That's like 95, so now I was like 8.
Yeah, well, there you go. You was playing with G.I. Joes and Power Rangers.
I always had the rock in my hand. I was always playing ball. Skipping rocks, us fishing and stuff.
We're gonna find some old school pictures of this. We may have to hit up your mom with this. You playing with some possible. Toys?
I'm thinking now that Nick Foles has signed and made my signed Blake Bortles jersey in my closet obsolete. Even though somebody did send me a tape job of how to change Bortles into Foles, so it's possible I might do that. I think I might just invest in a Mark Brunell throwback jersey.
That's not bad.
I think that's the move for me, with the 75 patch on it from the 75th year of the NFL.
I'd like to
a good move.
Or David Garrard, you could be fine with that. I like the white jerseys I used to have with the black and gold trim on the side, or like kind of on the shoulders. Those are hard for sure. Absolutely. But we can't wait to, oof, man, football season on the pod when we're going to talk about the AFC South and then your boy Jalen. Man, that'll be fun, man. That'll be cool. So I'm very much looking forward to that. As we transition from the NFL to European football, now, how do you want me to start, Charles? Should we go into the – what's the biggest soccer news? Man, oh, my gosh, there's so much. So much.
So much happened, man. So much happened. Let's give Ronaldo his due.
It's not me who needs to give Cristiano Ronaldo CR7 his due. It's time for you to acknowledge some things, I think.
Okay, these are the truths that I acknowledge about Cristiano Ronaldo. Oh, okay. First and foremost, now that he's not wearing a Real Madrid jersey, I find him like, that dude's really good. I always have an appreciation for him. He kind of reminds me of Kobe in the way that he's just very, a hard worker. He's really driven and stuff like that. So, you know, I watched his documentary that he made. Like, he's very, reminds me of Kobe a lot. So I appreciate the work ethic.
Why do you think he's kind of being my favorite? Exactly.
The man works his ass off, so I can't. So I've always known that about him, and I kind of always did like his swag because, you know, as much as I love Messi, Messi's kind of just, you know, he's just there, and so, you know, this year with him being at Juve, I've been able to really appreciate him. I mean, my man just balled out today. They were down 2-0 in aggregate going into the game, and he just willed them to victory. They ended up winning 3-2. On aggregate, 3-0 today. He scored all three goals for his team. He actually had a fourth goal disallowed early in the game. The man just played his ass off, and he showed up, and he always shows up in the big games.
Always.
And we're living in a golden era of football. Cristiano is the second best player of all time in my eyes.
Okay.
I think he's the best goal scorer I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
But he's not. Messi's a better overall player just with his assist and just the way he plays the game. But, like, when he's just ruthless when it comes to getting goals. And I've never seen a player with such an appetite for scoring. Like, if he could score 12 goals in a game, he would. He would not feel bad about it. He wouldn't stop. He would run at every ball. And, like, he's ruthless about it. And, like, it was, you know, to watch the whole game today, it was just amazing to see him just keep working, and finally get those breakthroughs. And, you know, I felt like I kind of got his pain last year when he was on Real Madrid, and he said that he didn't feel like the fans appreciated him. So, you know, now to see him when he scores at Juve, and he does his little twirl jump, and the whole crowd, like, in unison, like, gives him his little chant and stuff. Like, he's living his best life, so, you know, good for him. You know, he came, like, his team needed him. That's why they paid him the big bucks, and he showed up. That's how I want my NBA players to show up, you know, moments like that in those trying times during the playoffs and stuff. When it's time for you, you know, LeBron and these players, when it's time for you to go get 40 because your team needs it, that's what I want to see, is go out there and say, fuck this, I got y'all, and go out there and get 40 and get the win and put the team on your back.
Antoine Griezmann was talking all that stuff, how he should be on the same level as Ronaldo and Messi. And you know what? These are the games where you can literally change the tide of what it's going to be. And there's a lot of talk. I listened to a couple other podcasts and tried to read what I can and making out of things in Italian. I just wanted to see what the kind of conversations were regarding Cristiano Ronaldo. Let me give you some facts. He just played his 23rd game. Excuse me, his 32nd game against Atletico Madrid as we have it here. He's won 16, lost 9, drawn 7. He now has in 30 some odd games played, 21 goals, 8 assists, and now he just tacked on 3 more, so 24 goals against one team. When you're, and that's a team that used to be in a derby, and now it was the biggest situation. Why we pay Ronaldo not to go perfect in Serie A, even though there's a very good chance of like that happening with Juve while they still handle their things in the Champions League. But it was for moments like this, and if they make it to the Champions League final, he's worth every. Actually, you know what? He's already worth all this money, regardless. It doesn't matter. All the Euros, bring back it on up for him. He couldn't do enough. It was vintage Ronaldo. And there's another thing is that people understand three of the biggest clubs in the world. He did this at United. Incredible for Fergie. And then obviously what he did for Zidane. And then now he's going to get elected. You know what? I told you, what did I tell you last week? I knew Jorge was going to win. I just knew it because I have seen this so many times against Atletico and what he does. No offense, you can't say that all the time with your boy at the biggest stage. So I'm glad you're giving him his due.
I'm giving him props. To back myself up a little bit, I did say they would win today, last week. I said they would win 2-1. I did think that I expected Griezmann and Koke, who I literally did not believe were playing until like the 70th minute. And the only reason I saw Koke is because he was like pushing somebody away during like a dust up. I had completely, like, there were no shows for the game. And I got tired of, like, I just realized how much I hate watching Alvaro Morata play football. It's so an exercise and nothing. Like, he's just doing nothing. He gets touched, he falls. And like, he's just flipping around. It's bad. And Chiellini's flopping is all tight. I thought Neymar was bad at flopping until I watched Chiellini play today. Jesus, he was bad. So it was a good win by them, though.
Fantastic. I cannot wait to see the pairings. And it just kind of leads us into tomorrow. I'm really excited for you. Let's just say this. Barca needs to handle their business so that we can have some of the best eight that we have ever had. And then tomorrow, I don't know if what Klopp is. Is he sleeping tonight being like, you know what, it's not the worst thing that happens if we lose. But then, man, do you want to be the only team, only English team to not pull it out? There's a lot of things to unwrap there. I'm going to say this. I think, like I said, Barcelona, as you actually mentioned earlier on Twitter, is Ronaldo balling out? Lets me know that Messi's about to do his thing tomorrow. Would not be surprised if they actually put up a 3-0 win back at the Camp Nou tomorrow. So that's my prediction there. I still think Liverpool wins tomorrow as well. I still think LFC wins. And I think they get through on a 1-1 draw over with the away goals. That's where I'm going to go with. I'm changing my mind on that. I think it's 1-1, 1-1 draw, and they get through. So how are you seeing things for tomorrow?
I could see Barca getting a 2-0 win. We'll see how it goes with Dembele being out, so that possibly means Coutinho is going to play. Lord, if you could see my face as I say that. So we'll see how that goes. But I think we'll be able to find a way to get a two nothing. Those kids from Lyon are, you know, kind of remind me of those kids from Ajax. So hopefully we don't take them too lightly, give them their proper respect and dispatch of them, you know, in due time. So I think we'll be on to the eight just with our experience and the fact that we do have the best player in the world. As for that Liverpool game, that's a toss-up, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised to see a 1-1 as well. I've been hearing a lot about Liverpool not wanting, you know, having to decide between you know, the Champions League and winning the, trying to win the Premiership. At, you know, if they lose tomorrow, it doesn't matter. So all that shit goes out the window. So they need to take care of business first. And I don't know. It's never a good omen when the teams are talking about something in the future like that, you know, and putting their energy towards something. And, you know, this race for two championships or which one is more important. That's how you get looking at that. And that's how they end up losing to Bayern, you know, in those situations and not moving on at all. So we'll see how it plays out, though. I definitely think Barca is going to win. That Liverpool game is a toss-up. I haven't seen Bayern play enough this year, really, to have like a full, you know, opinion about what they'll do tomorrow and how they respond.
Fair enough. All right, I'm not going to hold you to the fire. You're making an honest assessment. We will not let you do this when it comes down to the quarterfinal round when everybody gets in, which is just going to be incredible. Really is either way. Whatever happens with LFC or Bayern, we're gonna have a lot of folks carrying the flag for England for the Premier League. But then we are going to have the champions, the best team in Spain. We're gonna have the best team in Italy. And most importantly, I think we're going to have the most informed team in entire Europe with Manchester City and what they did in a 7-0. Actually, we have to give them some props today as well. They scored the most goals, the tied for the most goals ever in a Champions League knockout round with 7-0. Wonderful, wonderful accomplishment for them today over Schalke. So without further ado, since you are in the mood of giving so much love to Real Madrid, Real Madrid, would you like to continue with some of the other greatest news that has just happened?
Zidane came back from vacation.
Vacation? Is that what we're calling
it? Was vacation. He was gone 8 months. The man went on sabbatical.
Even more than FMLA, honestly. Well, maybe the European FMLA is a little bit more. So,
he went to France, drank some wine, thought about some things, and came back. It's proves that, you know, he should have never left in the first place.
But he had to, right?
His main problem was the money. They weren't spending money. He kind of foresaw all the problems that were gonna happen this year. And, you know, if he didn't leave, he would have been the one bearing the brunt, you know, for this bad season. Because I don't think he would have changed the result, you know, all but too much. Maybe they would have got through in the Champions League, but they wouldn't have won the Champions League for the fourth time, I don't think. Cristiano seemed like he was leaving anyway. There's that. It's one of those, like, he's definitely, from what I hear, the money thing was a big deal for him. So he's going to come in and hopefully, you know, Hazard's definitely going, I would say. Depending on how much he costs, that would be interesting to see how much more money's left to overhaul the squad after that. And then I guess he can go after one of the PSG guys. I think the no-brainer for if I'm PSG is if I got to sell one of them is to sell Neymar, keep Mbappe. So I think that should be the plan for PSG at all costs, to keep Mbappe and get rid of Neymar if they need to.
And his,
as tough as that sounds.
And it's 2 years and 5 months. And we'll give you some more facts because that's what we do. Nine titles and trophies at Madrid as a coach. Three Champions Leagues. Excuse me, four. And now in terms of we had the 4 and 5, but three Champions Leagues, two Club World Cups, two UEFA Super Cups, one La Liga title, and one Spanish Super Cup, as well as the trophies. Like, he's in the best record of any Real Madrid coach in his first 70 games at the helm. This is great. Last week I went to bed after my pod with you. I knew you were excited. You were laughing, very probably making fun of me while you were going to bed and going to do whatever you need to do and enjoying your other extracurriculars. Shout out to Robert Kraft, even though you don't have to pay for yours. And me, I knew I was going upstairs. Child is asleep. Sarah's absolutely asleep. And I know that I have to go and like watch old YouTube clips of great goals to make sure that I was never not going to lose my love for this team, and because I was so nervous that Jose Mourinho was going to be brought in. So they handled their business 4-1, even though they literally gave up three goals, and two of them were called back this weekend. But man, it matters not. We have 11 games, and this is going to be great. We're going to see the best out of Isco. We're going to see the best out of Asensio. Because he will get rid of people. And so thank you, Florentino Perez. Be able to chill on your pride, put that to the back table. And now all the Madridistas, they're back. I cannot wait. The Bernabeu is going to be live again. Don't have to mess around with anything in the summer. None of the Super Cups. Barcelona, well, hopefully we'll see. Because maybe Atletico, because they could go in a bad tailspin, and maybe Madrid will battle for second. But Charles, it's going down. Zidane is back, and he's back, and he's going to spend money, going to have Hazard, and I'm pretty sure Neymar, if we can work out a deal, maybe. It was the caught-offsides guys thought that maybe a trade or maybe a transfer of Bale for Neymar, and that would be just fine. Oh, and you would be so hot. You would be so hot if Neymar's on Madrid. Oh, God,
I don't think Neymar. I think low key Neymar doesn't want to play for Madrid.
Why? He doesn't want the pressure of winning?
No, I just think because he played at Barcelona. he doesn't want to play at Madrid. I think he would. I think he'll eventually go, but I could see him being like it's, I don't know. I just think when you, I think like you know how Spanish football is. They're playing like you're either Barcelona or you're a Madrid guy. And I think once you kind of play for it's not, there are people that have played for both, but I don't know. Neymar just seems so like you know you hear stories about him wanting to go back to Barca and like really missing it there. So I can't like. I can, you know, obviously with money, you know, business is business. You know, he'll go to Real Madrid, but I can see him like, you know, part of him kind of begrudgingly not wanting to go.
Yeah, it would be fair. But PSG, are they going to rock the boat? I want them to run it back one more time just because it would be cool to see Mbappe and Neymar on the stage together. We still have yet to have Neymar play in a meaningful Champions League game with PSG. True. So they can run it back. They can run it back. It'll be interesting to see. Charles, I think that obviously we said we were going to go to two pods for folks this week. One lasting comment. And don't forget, we got to wait for Charles to get the Twitter rolling a little bit. And he's going to go off on some people he already has this week. So I know Wednesday and Thursday are going to be juicy before our tweets of the week. But Charles, since we have been doing the podcast. I love it when we have a live news that breaks. Le'Veon Bell is going to be heading to the Jets. And it looks like 4 years, $52 million, which is lower than what he thought he would be getting as that between that 14 to 16 range, 14 and a half to 16 and a half, or maybe 17 range. What are your thoughts about Le'Veon and going to New York now?
I mean, I'd be interested to see what the guaranteed money is on it.
Okay. 4 years right now, but
yeah, I mean, you know, probably not exactly what he wanted. Thinking, you know, money per year, but if the guaranteed money is higher than what he would have gotten other places, I mean, it's the best deal. At the end of the day, he didn't take any hits last year.
That's right.
So I mean, he's fresh. You know, people want to talk about how he missed out on money, but I mean, he didn't get his brain smashed in and get three concussions or get a concussion that he didn't need last year as well either.
Absolutely.
So, you know, how much do you value your health? So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, he's got people that, you know, that this deal gives him a little security. From what you can see, obviously the Steelers situation is not the best situation. So I think there's some people that just wanted to not be around. And as much as people have a problem with Le'Veon, you know, not coming in and playing the whole year, I think, you know, you can kind of tell from the way that situation has deteriorated. Maybe he just didn't want to be around those people. And, you know, maybe, you know, peace of mind is, you know, has some value to certain people. So, you know, maybe, you know, sitting out and missing the entire year last year was better than being there and having to deal with that shit show that went down in Pittsburgh last year. So, you know, it worked out for him. He's in a big city. New York loses a star, but they gain one back. So, you know, the Giants lost theirs, but the Jets got one. So, I mean, if he can come out there and get Sam Darnold some help and they can produce, I mean, you know, they're still going to lose to the Patriots. It's not going to matter as they're not going to make the playoffs. But, you know, I'm sure he'll have 1,400 total yards and do his thing and make the Pro Bowl. But, you know, all in vain. It won't matter since, you know, good for you. I'm glad he got paid, but it's a kind of inconsequential signing, in my opinion. Le'Veon got tagged, so it's not like this ain't like Le'Veon like has no like nah. It's not that. I don't think I get what you're saying, but nah, I don't think it's. I'm big up to those, you know, those
the Browns
snappers that are making it happen.
The Browns, well, they can't win. They're gonna play Tom Brady. Just like take the air out of
as
everybody's
much as things
balloons.
Change, things stay the same. So at the end of the day, we can do all this hemming and hawing on March 12th. And the Patriots are still going to be the team to beat in the AFC. So why are we going to sit here and waste our time, waste the people listening to this time, and tell you all this bullshit? The Patriots are still going to be in this at the end.
Okay. What is it?
Right. I'm telling you that now.
Man, I'm happy for L. Bell. Okay, so the money.
9 months in advance, I'm telling you, the Patriots are going to be the team with either home field advantage or the team that still has Tom Brady, and you're like, they're probably going to win the Super Bowl again, or they'll at least make it to the AFC Championship.
$35 million guaranteed to 52.4 over 4 years.
Get your money, and we'll see how those guarantees are, because if he gets that 35 in the first 2 years of that deal, he can pull an Antonio Brown if he wants to, or he can restructure in year three. So, I mean, good for him. Shout out to you, man. Anytime somebody gets $35 million, it's a good day.
I'm nervous for Mike Tomlin. I like Mike Tomlin a lot. I'm nervous for him. These are two of the best players at their position.
People realize it might be you. At a certain point, somebody starts to ask that question. And, hey, man, it might be you. And Mike Tomlin, if he can turn this around with Juju and James Conner, I think that would be a testament to how good of a coach he is. And I think like he'll get most of the credit for being able to do that. But if this shit goes south, yeah, he's going to be – because Ben's going to retire and get the fuck out of Dodge if this goes south. And Tomlin's going to be the one, you know, one to take that L. So, yeah, I suggest he get his shit together. And this is kind of a make-or-break year for him, for sure. So, you know, as much as everything for the Steelers changed, I feel like when Ryan Shazier got hurt. But, I mean, that was 2 years ago now.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, this time, you know, they could kind of lean on that last year and lean on some other things. You know, Le'Veon not showing up. But now all those things are gone. So, you know. This is what we got. What are we doing with it?
To quote the great Kanye West, the great philosopher, "It's as bad, real bad, Michael Jackson." Even though I'm sure he wasn't even thinking about Fantastic Neverland would be coming out, so Kanye actually didn't know how really bad things were. Oof! Yes. Oh man, we know what this is, real bad in the Steel City, and it's very unfortunate, but. You know what? That's why they play the games. But, you know, according to Charles, it doesn't matter whether you play the games. It doesn't matter whether you don't have a girl, but, you know, you can do some things that you couldn't do before, just according to him. So, you know, that's all it says is, yes, it doesn't matter if you were to talk to Charles M. Little. So, that's all right.
Doesn't matter, man. Doesn't matter. Nobody. I don't care what the Jets are doing. I don't care what the Browns are doing. I don't care what the Buccaneers are doing. Like, nobody cares. You sign whoever you want to sign. History has shown that these people are going to do nothing. No. Darrell Revis went to the Buccaneers, was still the best cornerback in the league, was there for a year, got his money, the team sucked, and then he left. I can do that with a bunch of free agents on every team every year. They switch teams. It's usually never as good on most cases with big time players. It's never as good on the second team as things were on the first team. So, like, do I think Antonio Brown's about to go to the Raiders and be the best receiver in the league? Fuck no. It's not how it's going to work. Do I think Odell's going to go? Odell can probably go to the Browns and still be Odell. But are his numbers going to be the same? No, because now they got Landry. So circumstances change, situations change. And usually it never gets as, you know, it's never as good as it is on the first team.
Hmm.
LeBron was most godly when he was on the Cavs. Even though he was the man on the Heat, he's the man on the Lakers. He was most King James, you know, best player on earth when he was, you know, it's never as good as it is on the first team.
This episode of the Charles Little Podcast with Michael Lofton, episode of Melancholy, is brought to you strictly from C Little 15. So, if you ever had any hopes and dreams for beginning of March, sorry that we've probably added to those probably not coming true at all for the remainder of the week. So
we're definitely going to call this podcast March Sadness.
Yes, absolutely. So,
no March Madness, just March Sadness.
Yeah, whatever you do. there's nothing good in life right now, especially after people are trying to make deals and better themselves, but. You know, Charles is supposed to be a trainer.
There are great things in the world.
A builder of people, but yet he doesn't think anybody can be better, apparently, right now. So it's just
Aaron
wonderful.
Judge is looking great in spring training. Nick Foles got this paycheck. Great things are happening right now. I don't know what you're talking about. The Dayton Flyers got the 3 seed in the A-10 tournament. It's going to be a good weekend for us.
All your teams. Notice that you've left the Lakers out, though. But that's
Flyers
okay.
Is going to win tomorrow. You know, it's a positive vibe. I can't say I don't like the doom and gloom. I just, like I said, I'm an avid sports watcher. I've been watching this thing go round and round and round and round for 20 years, and it literally turns out the same way every single time. So that's how I know that the Nuggets aren't ready, because I've always seen the young team lose every single playoffs because they're not ready. The Warriors happened to the Thunder. It will happen to the Nuggets too. It's just things that I see, man. It's cyclical, you know. As much as I keep saying, as much as things change, you know, they stay the same. So I don't mean to be the perpetual pessimist, But it's called How's It?
Charles, this is, I would say this has been a wonderful podcast, but you wouldn't believe it that we would actually use a positive adjective. So we appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for not losing the people and making sure we, I would say that we should keep hope alive, but Jesse Jackson style, but with the Charles Little podcast, you're just going to get it real all the time. And sometimes there may just not be any hope. So I'm still with you, Browns fans. We're going to rock with it. I'm excited. I'm here for the dog pound all year this year. But Charles, thanks so much for being able to bless the people midweek. We can't wait to be able to give you some action later in the week. Everything looking good for the Flyers, in your opinion? Are you at a moment, where's your excitement level right now? Are you at like a 5, 6? From this podcast, it'd be today. Like a 2.5, but that's fine.
I'm pretty good today. You know, A-10 awards came out. Obi was first team. Josh was third team. Jalen was third team. Obi, obviously, because he was first team, got, you know, he got rookie of the year, freshman team. So, I mean, it was a positive day for the Flyers.
Okay.
You know, as a fellow award winner when I was in college. So, you know, those are always good days to get the calls that you won something. So, you know, good positive momentum, positive vibes leading into the weekend. So let's see if we can get the Barclays popping, cut down these nets, and go dancing.
We're going to dive a lot more into that on Thursday. Thanks for listening to the Charles Little podcast with Michael Lofton. And Charles just gave you some departing words. Thank you for keeping it happy at the end, Charles. We greatly appreciate it.
You know, always, man. Positive vibes to everybody out there listening. You know, I just, like I said, I like to call it how I see it. You're probably listening to this because you like to hear how I call it how I see it. So we're just going to keep it a beam, always, first and foremost. You know, fuck with us.
All right.
Shout out Go Flyers and all those good things, man. I'm just, you know, I'm at a loss for words. I'm trying to keep it positive here. Don't ask me about 2 Chainz album. Don't ask me about that school in Cincinnati. You know, if we do those things, you know, we'll keep the positive vibes going.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you all later this week. Have a great week.